Chapter 13. Why, in man's reason, fantasy may be perceived as reality. My dear and kind grandfather, will you please explain to me, if only in a general way, why it is that the beings on the planet Earth take the ephemeral for the real? To this question of his grandson, Beelzebub replied, on the planet Earth, this particularity in the psyche of the three-brain beings arose only during later periods, and it arose only because their essential part formed in them, as in all three-brain beings, gradually allowed the other parts of their total presence to perceive every new impression without fulfilling what is called being Parktog duty. That is to say, merely as such impressions are generally perceived by one or another of their independent localizations known as being centers. Or, to put it in their language, they believe everything anybody says, instead of believing only what they have been able to verify by their own sane deliberations. In other words, only what they have come to as a result of confronting and evaluating the data already deposited in them, which have given rise to all sorts of different conceptions in each of their localizations of divers nature. In general, a new conception is crystallized in the presence of these strange beings only if Mr. Smith speaks of somebody or something in a certain way. And then, if Mr. Brown says the same, the hearer is quite convinced that it is just so and could not possibly be otherwise. Thanks to this particularity of their psyche, most of the beings there, having heard the writer I spoke of praised so highly, are at present quite convinced that he is a very great psychologist with an incomparable knowledge of the psyche of the beings of his planet. As a matter of fact, when I was on that planet for the last time, and having heard of this writer, once went to see him myself on quite another matter, I found him, according to my understanding, just like all the other contemporary writers there. That is, extremely limited, or, as our dear Mullah Nasruddin would say, able to see no further than his nose. As regards any knowledge of the true psyche of the beings of his planet in real conditions, he might safely be called a complete ignoramus. I repeat, the story of this writer shows in a very characteristic way to what extent the three-brain beings who have taken your fancy, particularly the contemporary ones, have failed to fulfill being Parktol duty, and how there are never crystallized in them any subjective convictions of their own, formed by their own logical deliberations, as in general is proper to three-brain beings, but instead only those convictions are crystallized that depend exclusively upon the opinions of others. And it was only because they failed to fulfill being Parktog duty, which alone enables a man to become aware of genuine reality, that they saw in this writer some perfection or other that was not there. This strange trait of their psyche, that of being satisfied with whatever Smith or Brown says, without trying to know more, became rooted in them long ago. And now they no longer make the least effort to know anything that can be understood solely by their own active reflection. It must be said here that the blame for this lies neither in what was implanted in their ancestors, nor its consequences, which were crystallized in them because of a mistake on the part of certain sacred individuals, and which later began to pass by heredity from generation to generation. No, they themselves are to blame for it, on account of the abnormal conditions of external ordinary being existence they gradually established, and which have progressively fostered in their common presence what has now become their inner evil god, called self-calming. But you will understand all this very well for yourself later on when I give you, as I promised, more information about the planet that has taken your fancy. In any case, I strongly advise you to be most careful in the future when you refer to the three-brain beings of that planet, not to offend them in any way. Otherwise, with what may the devil not joke, as they say, they might hear about your insulting them, and to use another of their expressions, lay you by the heels. There's no harm in recalling here another wise saying of our dear Mullanasra Din. What on earth will happen next? A flea might swallow an elephant. Beelzebub was about to say something more, but at that moment a ship's attendant entered and handed him an ethrogram in his name. When Beelzebub had finished listening to the contents of the ethrogram and the attendant had gone, Hassin turned to him and said, "Dear grandfather, please, go on and tell me more about the three-centered beings arising and existing on that interesting planet called Earth." Beelzebub, looking at his grandson once again with a particular smile, made a strange gesture with his head and continued,